This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We always begin by mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, thanking Him, praising Him, seeking His forgiveness, relying upon Him, and depending upon Him for everything while sending these salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you guys hear me okay? Everyone, sisters in the back, you guys can hear fine? All right. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we're going to begin a new series, inshallah. And this is going to be a monthly series. Now, whether it's going to be the third or fourth Friday, I don't know yet. Because, alhamdulillah, we have a very vibrant Friday night program. And there's a lot of Friday nights that have already been reserved, but we'll aim for either third or fourth Friday of every month, bi'idhnillah. And our series is going to be upon the universal, absolute principles derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is going to be taken from two books. One is called Al-Qawa'id Al-Qur'aniyya, and the other one is called Al-Qawa'id Al-Nabawiyya. So Quranic principles and prophetic principles. Both of these books have been authored by the Sheikh Umar Al-Muqbil. He has authored these two books, which has the principles derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, when we say principles, what do we mean? We're talking about universal principles that is found in the Quran, and that could be an entire ayah, that could be a part of an ayah, that could be part of a hadith as well. But these principles that are derived from them are universal in a sense, which means they're divine in origin, they are eternal, and they are applicable in multiple situations. It's not just in one area, but it is applicable in multiple situations, whether it's work, school, home, masjid, community, multiple situations, these principles are there. And at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't send the Quran, nor did He send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us just to engage with His book when it comes to the recitation of it and just the reading of a hadith. But rather, it was for us to engage with it in action, in implementation. That how do I live and embody these principles? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Aisha was asked about his mannerisms, she said it was the Quran, which means he was the living example of the Quran. And the principles are very important that you will see bi'idhnillah that these are applicable in multiple situations. And for the fact that we implement it, what is the result that comes from it? The result is multiple: emotional well-being, better communication, good relationships, good mental health, and the most important, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is something that we all want. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He didn't send down these principles, and He didn't send down the Quran, He didn't send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we could be ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa, telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we didn't send the Quran down to you so that you would be disheartened, wretched, it would be difficult for you. Rather, it's meant to uplift you, and it's meant to uplift us on an individual basis, and at the same time as a community as well, that when we live and embody these principles that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent, then it is for our own good on an individual level, on a family level, and on a communal level, and on a society as well. So let's look at the first principle. The first principle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, the principle is pretty much, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, that there's a command that's saying that say to the people husna, which is good. And in another recitation, Allah says وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حَسَنَا, and which is pretty much the same meaning, the same say to others, which is good. Now, this principle comes in one of the verses that is being directed to Bani Israel, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. That when we took a covenant from Bani Israel, not just any covenant, but a very strong covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from Bani Israel. Now, what were the terms of this covenant? Number one, لا تعبدون إلا الله. Do not worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. Then, وبالوالدين إحسانا. And towards your parents, you have excellence towards them in terms of you being dutiful to them. Not only them, but وذي القربى, your relatives, the orphans, and the poor individuals of society. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَقُولُوا, and speak with others in goodness. Establish the prayer, give the zakah. Now what was the result of this covenant? Allah Azza wa Jal says, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْكُمْ, that most of you turned away, except for a few of you. وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِدُونَ, and you have this habit of just turning away. Now let's look at this. Who falls under an-nas? Who falls under people? When Allah says وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, He didn't say وَقُولُوا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ حُسْنًا. He said say to an-nas, the people, human beings, good. Words of good. Now who falls under this? Let's name some people. Okay, everyone is a, yes, everyone. But who's within that everyone? Okay, so we have Muslims and non-Muslims. Who else is within there? Okay, everyone, let's make it more specific. Yeah, so that's under Muslims and non-Muslims. Let's categorize them. So I'll help you guys out. Parents, one of them. Okay? What else is there? Neighbors, all right, great. Who else falls under this category? Community, who else falls under them? Co-workers, who else falls under them? School, so people that you go to school with. Who else falls under this? Kids, Allahu Akbar, who said that? So kids, your kids fall under that as well. Kids are not exempted from this command. Who else falls under this? Elderly, okay, that's good. Married people, who else falls under this? Your spouses falls under this. It's a command to speak good, which means spouses falls under that as well. Neighbors, okay, neighbors is right. So the first answer, everyone falls under this. That when we speak is a command from Allah Azza wa Jal, that we're commanded, no matter who it is, to say that which is good. Is this something that you and I can learn? You have degrees in communication, how to communicate effectively, psychology of communication, and all these other studies that's been done that shows the result of effective communication. And this plays out in every sphere, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're on the street, whether you're at a store, whether you're at school, whether you're anywhere that you might be, you're always going to be communicating with other people, because we as humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us on this earth, and we are naturally social creatures. We are going to engage with people. Can you just pick up your bags and go live in a mountain without expecting to interact with anyone? You can't. We live in a society. We have to deal with one another, whether that's at work, school, home, especially within the home. And this commandment falls in every category. In some places, it's easy to do it. Would you agree with that? In certain areas, it's easy to speak well and nicely with others. Certain areas, it's not so easy. Especially when you've had a long day and you go home and you're tired, and now other people need your attention, and you just want to take it easy, whether you've been at work all day, or you've been taking care of the household affairs the entire day, and nighttime comes, and now we're drained of that energy, but the principle still stands. And there's a way to deal with it. Your child comes to you and says something to you that, hey, you know, I want to play with you, I want to do this, can we do this, can we not do this, why? And they are a ball of energy. They have tons of energy. And we don't have as much energy as they do. Once upon a time, maybe, but at this point, we probably don't. So how do you respond to that in a better way? What's a practical way? Because this is practical. We want to make it, take the theory and make it practical. How do you make it practical? Okay, so get some sleep and then talk to somebody. So that could work as well. But how do you communicate that? Okay, so we let them know that we're tired and I'll be with you shortly. So first thing is that when there is communication happening and you feel yourself about to react, we have to block that reaction, right? We have to turn what would be a subconscious reaction and make it more conscious, because we want to implement this principle that this is going to be my guiding principle, that waqulu linnasi husna. A very simple principle that we can all memorize together. Waqulu linnasi husna. This means everyone. So at times it just means take a deep breath, breathe a little bit before we respond to somebody. Then hear what the person, the child, the spouse, the worker, the disagreement is about, and listen to what they have to say before we try to respond. I hear you. I understand you want to do this right now. I understand you want to play and I've been away for some time. So we acknowledge there rather than saying, I'm busy, don't bother me, I'll talk to you later. Or, you know, you're wrong, you should follow this strategy that I'm telling you about to a coworker. But to talk to them in a better way, to soften their stance, because the end goal is what happens when we talk to people in a good way. You nurture that relationship. The home environment becomes a fun environment to be at. The children are not afraid to share what they're feeling with their parents. Because many times kids are worried that if I share something with my father or my mother, that I'm going through a struggle at school, they're going to react to me. And they're going to tell me, how could you think about that? Haram, this. So this picture that they've created in their minds, they feel that I cannot open up to my parents. And if they don't open up to you, who are they going to open up to? So friends, who else would they open up to? And the friends are going to give them the sound Islamic advice of what they should be doing? Maybe. We hope that our kids have good role models and good friends. But they might go to the wrong person who's going to give them a completely different advice that is not in line with the Islamic principles. But it starts with that if that communication is good, if we're able to say that which is good, I hear you. I understand where you're coming from. Okay, let me try to tell me what you're trying to say. I get it. I want you to look at it from this perspective. Let's see how we can come to an understanding of this. I understand it might be frustrating for you. You worked really hard on this project and you wanted to get the recognition. There's a lot of good points in there, but there's some feedback I have for you. Let's see now how we can come together and make this project work. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is coming in a Madani surah. In a Meccan surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. That tell my believing servants to say that which is ahsan. Now what is hasna or hasana, husna, ahsan? That there's two parts to this. The way you say something, the tone, the body language, the words you choose, and also the meaning behind the words. That how the words we choose to actually say. It makes a world of a difference when you say something in a nice way versus something in a harsh way. How many people here have experienced, I know sisters go through this a lot, it's not what you said, it's the way you, how you said it. Brothers, have you heard that from your wives before? Right? It's not what you're saying, it's the way you're saying it. The point is we want to be heard and acknowledged. And if we want that, then we have to be able to say it in the right way. And at times the right way is that if the person does not feel understood, So for parents, if your child does not feel understood, that you don't get it, parents just don't understand, they're not going to listen to you. Because they feel that my father, my mother doesn't get it. I'm living in this reality, they're living in a completely different reality. I'm trying to tell them something, they're not understanding where I'm coming from. But if they feel that you understand what they're going through, then you can actually influence them. So before, because we want to influence our kids, correct? We want to influence them in a good way, based on the principles of our beautiful religion. But the way to do that is, number one, we have to be able to understand where they're coming from. If they feel understood, you can influence better. If they don't feel understood, whatever you say, it could be the best speech in the world. Everything based on Quran and Hadith, it's not going to go anywhere. So part of that is وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said in the other verse, in the Meccan surah, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُوا الَّتِي أَحْسَنْ. Tell my believing servants to say that which is ahsan. The word choice, the way you say it, sometimes even the timing of it might not be the best time to have a specific types of conversation, especially between husband and wife. Because why is it important to say it in a good way? Who can finish the ayah for me? What comes after that part? Because Allah says next, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًّا مُبِينًا. Shaitan is going to come and he's going to put those thoughts in our minds. Oh, what did he mean by that? What did she mean by that? Oh, your dad is like this. Oh, your kid is like this. Oh, so-and-so hates you. And he's going to come and cause corruption there. Make us think of things that are not even there. But he's going to make us believe it. And then when we start believing it, we're going to react to that as well. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًّا مُبِينًا. And shaitan is a clear, open enemy to the insan. And nothing gives him more joy than to see families struggle, especially husbands and wives, to see them bickering and arguing over things because of misunderstandings that happened. Something was said or something was done, it was taken in a specific way. That's why this principle is extremely important, that how do I say it? And it's very simple. Instead of using you statements, because the moment, if I tell you, where's somebody? If I tell you that you didn't give a very good answer today, do you like that statement? And I'm being soft, by the way. Right. But think of how we communicate. It's always you, 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 you. The moment you talk like that, it is what is called a criticism. When you're criticized, how likely are you to listen to what the person has to say? More likely or less likely? Less likely. That if somebody is criticized, the natural reaction is always going to be they're going to get defensive. And they're going to say something back. Or they're just going to shut us off. But I want to be able to get through to this person. So one way to do that is I take responsibility for my feelings rather than blaming the other person. By using statements like, I feel this, I notice this. This leads me to worry about, I notice that you're not focusing on your schoolwork. It makes me worry that maybe you're not going to get into the school that is good for you, and I'm worried that your future is not going to be the best. I'm not saying that you're not working hard and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. I'm saying this is completely my viewpoint. So the child or the student in front of me is more likely, okay, if you're feeling this way, then don't worry about it. I'm doing this, I have a plan, so we can have a dialogue here. So the first principle is, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. I want you guys to remember this. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. To say that which is good. Even if somebody comes at you, that, okay, where is this person coming from? What is their complaint underneath it? How can I respond to them in a way that is going to break their hostility towards me? And when a person is able to do this, you, number one, if you can do it, you can emotionally regulate yourself. That you're not going to get triggered and respond in a way that is not healthy. But rather, we respond in a way. And why are we responding in this way in the first place? Why do I want to respond in this way? So, why do I want to respond with وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا? Okay, so that's good. That so that there's good communication and it doesn't lead to any unnecessary arguments per se. Okay, why else do I want to respond with وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا? Because it's Allah's command. So if I respond in the way that Allah wants me to respond, what's the result of that? Okay, so Allah will rectify our affairs and forgive our sins. Okay, that's good. You use the verse to counter that. That's great. Now, but what's a simpler way to put it? If I respond in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to respond, what do I get from it? Hasanat, good deeds. So the intention has to be there that when these relationships are happening and I'm responding in this way, I am earning good deeds. My effort is not going to waste. And that's why we want to remember the principle. And you want to imprint it in your mind that وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say to people that which is good. This is a command from Allah Azza wa Jal that in that moment, if we can consciously bring that, because we're reactionary. Things happen, we react right away. But if we can pause for a little bit, and there's actually a technique that when you're about to communicate, ask yourself, what's the goal behind this communication? If I'm going to confront somebody, I'm going to go talk to my child, I'm going to go talk to my spouse, I want to bring up something, you ask yourself, what's the goal here? If the goal is to put them down, to get revenge, or just to get to say your piece, is that a good goal? Should I follow through with it? Should I try to change my goal? What's a better goal to have? Okay, so that's a good goal. Want to create understanding. That's a very good goal. What else is a goal? Be nice. Okay, that's a good goal as well, to be nice. You say it again? Educate, okay, to teach somebody. Okay, solve the misunderstanding. So those are good goals. Now, if I want to create understanding, but I'm just going to go and say whatever's on my mind and use any language that I want, is that a good way to do it? And I'm just going to tell them of everything they've done wrong in their life and how they're no good and they've never done anything good in their life. Is that a good way to approach my goal? Okay, so in terms of dealing with the nafs and emotions, so on and so forth. So the second part is also, if your goal is a good goal, right? The understanding and keeping the harmony and making sure there's no hard feelings between people, that's a great goal. The second step is, how are you going to achieve this goal? If the way you're going to achieve it is not good, then it's better not to say anything. So the way that we also approach that, because at the end we want to create understanding, we want to get through to the other person, we want them to understand us, and at the same time, we want to understand them as well. Where are they coming from? What's going through in their minds? Why do they feel the way they feel? So that we can understand and come together to make a solution. And this plays out everywhere. Home, work, school, community, masjids, people you work with. Everywhere it plays out. You might have a difference of opinion. That doesn't mean that that relationship is now destroyed all of a sudden. Or they hate you, or they're not on your side. It just means they have a different viewpoint. That's all it means. But now how can we put these viewpoints together? So if the goal is not a good goal, don't go through with it. If the goal is good, but the way you're going to do it is not good, don't go through with it either. But we want to stick to وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. If both of those are there, then go through with it. But part of that is you're going to mess up. That's just normal human behavior, that nobody gets it perfect. But the more we do it, and especially with that intention, because it is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, every time you try to do that, you are getting rewarded for it. So the value that I put is in my interactions, in my relationships, in everything that I'm trying to do when it comes to communicating with the other side, is I'm trying to get rewarded for it. Because we spend so much time socializing in environments where there's multiple people, you're interacting with them, doing other things. If you really look at it, how much time do we actually spend in ibadah itself? In a day? In actual ritualistic acts of worship? Salah, okay, let's give 10 minutes for each salah, 50 minutes. Let's say there's Quran in there as well, another 10 minutes, that's 60 minutes. Can we add anything more to it based on our busy lives? Usually that's a good amount of ibadah that's there, which means the rest of the 23 hours, sleep is a good portion. And the other things are work, home, kids, friends, social aspects. So, opportunity for وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, to get those hasanat. And this, it helps us as well, because when the environment is there, when children feel safe that I can come and say anything, they will come to you first before they go to anyone, because they understand that my parents are going to listen. It's a safe space. And same thing for husband and wives as well, that it's a safe space to say things. Something's on their mind, something's rubbed them the wrong way, that they can openly communicate about it without the other person getting triggered or belittling them or putting their feelings to the side. But rather, okay, where are you coming from? Let's talk it, let's understand where we're coming from. So, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. The second principle we're going to look at is another verse in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيِّرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now this is a pretty long verse here, that perhaps you might dislike something and is actually good for you. And perhaps you might love something, but in reality it is actually bad for you. Allah, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. Now that's a pretty long verse. How would you summarize this into a principle? How would you summarize this verse into an easy to remember principle? Okay, so that's very good. Can we make it more concise? Something that's easy to remember. So you're on the right track. It's a good summary, but can we make it a little more concise? No? Okay, let's get some assistance. Can we shorten this principle to something that's easy to remember? Okay, so that's great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now this principle plays out in every situation as well. And it's not just necessary when you go through like a big setback. The context of this, it comes in the verses of jihad. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he legislated fighting for the Muslims, naturally, you're going to put yourself in a difficult situation. You could lose your life, your children could become orphans, your wife could become a widow. There's a lot of difficulties that comes with it. So nobody's jumping for joy and be like, yeah, I'm going to go and put myself in that situation. Rather, people are going to be a little hesitant. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that perhaps you might dislike something, but in that there is a lot of good, because justice comes through that. The establishment of the truth comes, the message spreads. And perhaps you might love comfort, you want to stay away from that arena, you want to just take it easy and enjoy ease and comfort, but in that could be bad for you, in the sense that evil is going to spread, injustice is going to spread even further, that nobody is standing up to that, that the situation is going to become worse for you in the long term. Maybe in the short term it'll be good for you, but long term it could be extremely detrimental towards you as Muslims in your societies. And he says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and Allah knows best, and you don't know the reality of the situation or what the end goal is going to be. So to simplify the principle, as our brother said, that Allah knows best. Now while theoretically this is easy, how do we put it into real life situation? You wanted a job, and you're really looking forward to it, because you thought that that would open multiple doors for you in your future. And you did your best, you went for the interview, and you didn't get the job. How do you implement this principle? Okay, so if the fact I wanted it and I didn't get it, that means there's good in there for me. And say, if I did get it, so that's the best choice that's there. Okay, so that's good. Let's look at it another way. How many people are tired at the end of the night? Everyone's tired at the end of the night? Okay. And what do you want to do when you're tired at the end of the night? Sleep? Let's say before sleep. Lay on the bed, go on the phone, and not talk to anyone. Okay. All right, good. Lay on the bed, not talk to anyone, and scroll through TikTok. Are we all on the same page, inshallah? Okay. How can you take this? Because we can understand it when it comes to like a big thing. Okay, you know, it didn't happen. There was a loss in the family. You know, I wanted things to work out, but it didn't happen. And Allah knows what's best for me. Understandable. Now let's take it to a day-to-day thing. You're tired at the end of the day. You're tired. You know, you want to say that, hey, I'm tired. I had a long day. How can you look at that? Is that tiredness something you like or you dislike? Dislike, right? Nobody wants to feel tired. How many people get up and say, I can't wait to be tired tonight? Anyone? Nobody, right? So how can you take this principle and apply it to this simple situation? Okay, so even though you're tired, it's a good thing. Now let's take that a little bit deeper. How is that a good thing? Okay, so that's good. So we'll take that and simplify it more. That the question is, why are you tired in the first place? Because you've been working, or you've been, or for the sisters too, you're working, or you're taking care of the household responsibilities, and you're tired because of that. If you're in school, you have exams, you're studying, you're tired, understandably so. So the reason why you're tired, okay, why are you doing that in the first place? Why are you going to work? Why are you working your behind off? Why are you taking care of your family? Why are you doing all these things to make sure your kids grow up in a friendly, good, safe environment? What are you hoping for? Some reward, right? So the reason you're tired is because you're doing this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal to begin with. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? That's a good thing. So the reason I'm tired is because I'm going out and I'm doing this to earn Allah's pleasure. I'm responding to His command. I have these responsibilities that I have to fulfill. I have to take care of this. And in that, I am getting hasanat. I am being rewarded for that. If my intention is there. If I'm just doing it because life tells me to do so and this is what I signed up for, then we are not going to walk away with the reward. So the reason I'm tired at the end of the night is because I've been doing this thing. And I accept that. It's okay to feel that. You don't have to feel bad that the fact that you're tired. You're not Superman. You're not created to be a robot, to be somebody who can just function and not feel tired at the end of the day. But there's a reason behind that. And that is because we are going out and responding to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, which means I accept it. I allow myself to feel that. So part of going through difficulties is something that is called acceptance. So acceptance and commitment therapy is that, you know, you're going to go through negative emotions. You're a human being at the end of the day. You're going to experience loss, tiredness, difficult situations. Accept it. Don't fight it. It's part of life. It's okay to experience. But recognize when you accept it that what's coming, where is it coming from? What opportunity does it present for you? You didn't get the job that you want. That's fine. Accept it. There's good in it. But I keep going. It doesn't mean that I give up and I defeat. Maybe at this time, it might not be the best thing. But it doesn't mean in the future, as I grow, I become a better individual, I upgrade my skills, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to open that for me. Because it can also be that, you know, we don't want to feel tired at the end of the day. But what happens, okay, if I don't take care of these responsibilities? Maybe I get comfort and ease right now, but then long term, what's going to happen? That I might love this right now, but وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. Long term, it might be something that's bad for me. So even in these little things, right? The child might be too much energy, and you're tired, and it's irritating, and you want to think, but to pause that. Maybe I might dislike this, but this is an opportunity for me to nurture this child. to gain hasanat from that. So the principle once again, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might dislike something, but in reality, behind the scenes, it's good for you. It helps you. It strengthens you. It makes you a better individual. It makes you grow. But had that difficulty not be there, we'll just take it easy. And then later on, like, oh my goodness, now I have to go and rush through things. And perhaps we might like that ease and comfort, but long term, it could be something that is detrimental to us. So we want to look at that from this perspective as well, that things are going to happen, it's not going to go through your way, but once again, how do I respond? I might not like the situation. I accept it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will for me. So being pleased and content with the decree of Allah azza wa jal. But that doesn't mean be complacent, that you don't do anything after that. It means I accept it, but then I try to do what I can. So for example, somebody has like a health condition. They feel pain and, you know, they don't really want to interact with others or, you know, go to family outings per se, right? Something that they might dislike because of their condition. But how can they turn that into a higher principle per se? How can they make that experience, even the fact they might dislike it, but how can they turn it into something that is khayrul lahum, something that is good for them? Okay, so try to go once in a while. Okay, that's good as well. Okay, so to be able to be patient and look at the good things that's there. So once again, it comes back to the same principle as well, that why are you doing it in the first place? What are you hoping to get from it? Are you just hoping to maintain family relationships? That could be a value that somebody could have, that family is important to me, you know, no matter what, I'm going to be able to show up, and that's praiseworthy. But how can we take it one level further? It becomes for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that I'm going through, I'm tired, I don't want to deal with this, but Alhamdulillah, I have the ability to look after my family. I have kids that are there in the home. Our home is a lively, vibrant environment. And that tiredness that you feel becomes like an act of ibadah, because the intention is there for the sake of Allah. Which leads us to the next and final principle that we're going to cover today. And this is a prophetic principle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in hadith, and Imam al-Bukhari and multiple scholars, they start their book with this hadith at times because it's such a vital principle. Anyone want to take a guess what it is? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. That indeed actions are by intentions. The reward of an action, the wording is very specific, right? Innama is for hasal, you're restricting something. That the actions, what you get from it is what you intended. So if the intention was, you know, just to hang out with family, for example, then a person gets that. They got to visit family and they had a good time and they maintained ties of kinship. It's important to them. It's their father's friend or mother's friend and they wanted to make sure that this relationship stays alive. Alhamdulillah, good for them. Which is praiseworthy, it's a good thing, good value. But then they miss out on the other component, which is to get that hasanat, to get that reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because in reality, to just go back a little bit, the actual ibadah, the ritualistic actions we actually spend is a little bit of our time. Most time we're engaging with people, dealing with family, going to work. So all this entire playing field is an opportunity to get more hasanat. So how do we capitalize on that? Is through that intention. The what's the reason I'm doing that? You can have two people, both studying to be doctors. One is getting rewarded day and night because of that study, and the other person is getting nothing out of it. Or they're just getting the paycheck, and they're going to get the fame and accomplishments that comes with it. But the other person is getting that, but they're also getting hasanat, good deeds, day and night. The difference is because the intention that's there. Why are they doing that action in the first place? When an act of ibadah is there, intention is needed for it to be accepted. That when we stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, there's an intention there that I'm standing here to perform Salat al-Asr. In my heart, I'm saying this, and I'm doing it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. If it's not for the sake of Allah, it's not accepted. But I do it, what am I doing? Who am I doing it for? This is for acts of worship. Now, there's another thing. There is sins as well. You know, a person could be tempted by something, and they just kind of move on. Do they get good deeds for that? Yes? Why? Okay, so somebody who thinks of doing a bad deed, but they leave it off, then they're rewarded for it. So I'm just going to add something to that. If the person leaves it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, they remind themselves that, you know, this is not allowed. I value my relationship with Allah. Even though they're very inclined to that, it's something desirable to them, but they decide not to do it, they're being rewarded for that as well. Pardon me? Yeah, whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will replace it with something better for them. And intention is so vital, and we'll get to that. Then comes permissible things. That if you do it, you're not rewarded for it. If you don't do it, you're not sinful at the same time. Most of our time is probably spent in these areas. We do hang out with the family. We do things, you know, talking to other individuals. Permissible things, hopefully. But how do you capitalize on it? How do you go to sleep, still get hasanat? How do you eat a meal, still get hasanat? How do you play with your kids, still get rewarded for it? How do you spend time with your spouse, still get rewarded for it? It's through that intention that I'm doing this to nurture my children. I'm doing this to develop that connection with my spouse. I'm doing this to, I go to work because there's a responsibility that's been placed on me. And I'm responding to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. If a person does that, then all these things get turned into acts of ibadah. And even studies have shown that, and what they call is mindfulness, right? That you live a more meaningful, mindful, purposeful life, is actually shown to give people more mental well-being. They live happier lives, per se. Now, we like surpass this by miles because we have that ikhlas, the sincerity concept. That when I do things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, I know that it's not going to waste. How do I know that? Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah will never, never ever waste the effort of the one who does good, no matter how small it is. But the thing is, intention takes a proactive approach, because we're used to kind of just functioning on autopilot, right? You just do things, everything's routine. You wake up, hit the alarm, and you know exactly what's supposed to happen until the time you go to bed, which means a lot of things is just automatic. But that's why the scholars, they say that the عادات العلماء عبادات and عبادات الأعوام عادات, which means that the habits of the righteous and the scholars are actually acts of worship because of that presence, that mindfulness, that they come to the present moment and they know why they're doing what they're doing. But the actions of the general people, per se, or the ibadah, the acts of worship of the regular people, is habits in a sense, because it's just routine for them. There's no presence, there's no mindfulness, there's no coming into the present moment and understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing. And this is a very important principle, so important that some of the ulama, they said that this is half of the deen. That sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jal is one half of the deen. What's the other half? Marriage. Okay, nice. Nice. I like that answer. Thawab? Sawab. So mutaba'a, you mean. So there's two aspects to when it comes to acts of ibadah. One is, number one, sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has to be done for His sake. The other is that it's done the right way. And what's the right way? The way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If any one of this is missing, then the act of ibadah is not technically accepted. But when it comes, this is for acts of worship, right? So when we go salah, for the sake of Allah, but then I have to do it in the way that we've been taught by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I can't say Allahu Akbar, go sajda first, then get up and say Fatiha, and then make ruku. No, that's not the way the Prophet ﷺ taught us. But when it comes to general things, these day-to-day activities that you and I go through, just by having that intention for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, it becomes an act of ibadah, which means you and I get hasanat there. So now, how do we tie these three things together? وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Let's say that which is good. To be pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, that whatever happens, I know there's good in it. But that doesn't mean I become passive. And the last one is that actions are by intentions. That, okay, what is my intention? Let me set intentions as I go through my day. Let's just not go through it, but this time I'm going to do this. This is my salah time. This is when I'm going to be present with my kids. This is when I'm going to nurture my relationships. And you want to set high intentions. Why? I'm going to end with this. I only want to take 45 minutes. And we're almost there. Right? But I want you to think that, okay, these three principles, how are you going to tie them together in your life? How am I going to be able to speak good? How can I go through the difficulties of this life? Because it is going to be difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. That we have created insan in kebed, in hardship. One thing happens, another thing comes. Then another thing comes. The only real rest, truly, is that when you and I are going to leave this world. But that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the process. We can't enjoy the process and make the most of the moment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people are four types. That the first one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this person with ilm, with knowledge, and with wealth as well. So this person has both. And they utilize it in the service of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? So that's the highest level. The second category is Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed this person with knowledge. So they know their deen. They do their best to act upon it. But they don't have wealth. They don't have a lot of wealth. So they're unable to do what the first person is doing. But what they do have is they have an intention. That if I was blessed with that same amount of wealth, I would be doing exact the same thing or even more. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they're equal. Why? Because of that intention. And if they're truthful, not a fake intention, that, you know, you just make an intention for the sake of making an intention, but in reality, if it came, it would be spent in completely different avenues. But a true, sincere, genuine intention, being truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, the reward is the same for them. That's how powerful that intention is. That it elevates our ranks. That we should all make that intention. That if Allah gave me this and opened the doors for me, I would do this, this, this for the ummah. I would do this, this, this for the community. I would do this, this, this for my family, for other people who are needy, for my family back home, so on and so forth. And then the third category is that somebody who Allah Azza wa Jal has not given knowledge to, which means they don't understand their deen, but He's given them wealth. And they use that wealth to do everything that is wrong. Everything under the sun that is wrong, they use that to do that. Then the final category is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has neither given knowledge, so they don't know anything when it comes to their purpose in life, nor do they have wealth. But the intention is, if I had wealth like this guy did, who is doing everything that is haram, then I would be doing the same thing as well. They are also equal in sin as well, because of that azima that's there, that seriousness to commit those acts of disbelief. But what's preventing them is that they don't have the access or the resources to actually do that. But had they had it, they would be doing the exact same thing. So intention is, we want to set that intention. Mindful living, purposeful living. Set the intentions for the day, what you're going to do. Come in the present moment. Implement, speak good. You might want something, it doesn't work out your way, you know you're getting rewarded for it. And you might dislike something, and it didn't, and in that struggle, that hardship, you remind yourself of why you're doing it. What's the reason for it? And then we're earning hasanat. So we want to take this and implement this. Right? Three easy principles. How can I implement this? How can I speak better? How can I be pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jal has given me while still trying my best? And how can I set good intentions as I go to my days? And something could be that you just remind yourself. Just tell yourself, I'm tired because of the fact that I'm working hard, looking after my family. Something comes in, I want to say the right thing. Oh Allah, give me the ability to say the right thing. Something I know this is good for me. I might not see it right now, but I know Allah Azza wa Jalla has a plan for me. How many people here, you went through something in your life, and at that point you're like, I don't know how this is going to, like I really wanted it, but it didn't work out. And then a few years down the road, you're like, you know what? If that didn't happen, all of this would not have happened for me. Anyone felt like that before? Right? We're living examples of these principles to begin with, but sometimes we're just a little bit hasty. But part of that is trying our best and putting our trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us goodness. May He give us the ability to speak good. May He give us the ability to be pleased with His decree. May He make us sincere for His sake. May He allow us to have high intentions and a work ethic that backs that up. May He give us tons of good deeds that we come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they're because of the reason of having those noble intentions. May He be there for our brothers and sisters all across the world. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa iyaak barakallahu fiikum.